Christy. Oh my goodness, you're making such a big mess here.
I mean, I haven't even started drinking yet.
Welcome to the Shit We Don't Tell Mom podcast. This is Christy.
And this is Angie. And we're here to chat about the uncomfortable shit we secretly want to talk about as Asian millennials.
This is live, and so things are gonna get messy. First thing is first is I really want to drink champagne. Are you ready for this?
Welcome back to another episode of Shit We Don't Tell Mom. This is Angie.
And this is Christy.
Season 2 finale, episode 30. Do you have anything to add?
No, I think let's just get into it. I really want to get into the questions. I've been purposely avoiding these 36 questions because I wanted to save it for somebody special for me to go through it with. And which is why I never opened it, and I knew it was like a very popular thing, but I wanted to avoid it because I didn't want to, I don't know, bias myself. You know what I mean? I want to just like think of the answer when I am doing the question. Some like background about the 36 questions. There are three sets of questions, apparently. The first set of questions is like very surface level, and then you have medium level, and then you get like the deep, dark, sexy, juicy time, which is where we are very excited about. So our plan is just kind of blast through the first, second set, and then we're going to hang out around where the meat and juices are.
Here we go. Question number one. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? So mine's really simple. Mine would be my grandma.
Oh.
My grandma in China, my mom's mom. I wrote about this in my, like, it was the first thing that I wrote on Medium out of this one, so... What would yours be?
John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, because I love them. I have this huge crush on John Krasinski.
From The Office, Jim?
Yeah.
Do you have a crush on Jim or do you have a crush on John?
Both, which is why it's so great, because they're both great. They're both very different people, but they're both good.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, what happened to blasting through these questions? Okay. Let's go. All
right. Would you like to be famous, and in what way?
I would not like to be famous.
I think I would like to be famous.
Why?
Because I like money. That's the first thing I thought.
They don't always go hand in hand.
It's true. It's true.
And also, fame during your life and fame post-mortem is completely different. Like, for example, Vincent Van Gogh died, like, in shambles. Like, he was...
You're making this way too complicated.
Okay, sorry. Define famous. No, I'm just kidding.
It's supposed to be, like... Like rapid fire shit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Question number three.
Okay.
Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you are going to say and why?
No.
Do we even make telephone calls anymore? I guess the only time I make telephone calls is when I have to call like the bank or call somebody to get something.
Yeah. Okay. Question four. What would constitute a perfect day for you? Mm. By the way, are you falling in love yet?
Not yet, but let's see where we're at. Let's check in again at question number 22.
Yo, John Krasinski, though, man. Somebody please tag him.
Okay, you go first, because this question is very, like, quote-unquote perfect date. What do you constitute as a perfect
date? I don't know. Okay, so for all of these questions, all 36 of these questions, I'm just going to say whatever comes to mind first. I'm not going to try to think too hard about this. So a perfect day would be, like, me waking up really early. Like, I'm talking 5:30, 6 in the morning, which doesn't actually happen in real life, and no one else is awake yet, and the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and I'm brewing coffee, and you're like, fuck, this is gonna take forever.
Yeah.
That's how it's gonna start, okay? And then I'll probably, like, play outside, I will eat lots of good food, I will roll around some grass, I love rolling around on grass, and there'll probably be some bubblies. Oh, bubblies are my favorite, so I'm gonna just pour more. There'll probably be bubblies involved, and I might see some friends.
It's a long ass day.
Yeah, but I start at 5:30 in the morning.
Right? I'm already tired listening to that.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay, next question. When did you last sing to yourself, to someone else?
I sang myself. I sang to myself in the car on my way here to Angie's place. And when was the last time I sang to someone, like for someone, it would probably be last year when I sang at a friend's wedding.
Oh yeah, you did a great job. The last time I sang was probably this weekend when I was singing Where the Watermelon Grow down by the bay.
Nice. Forgot about that
yeah,
song.
I don't know, for some reason. I think it's because the watermelon's in season, so I just kept singing about watermelon. Okay, next question. If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or a body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which would you want?
What? I'm a little drunk. What? So I choose between mind or body of a 30-year-old.
Yeah. We're 30, so basically for the rest of our life, would you rather have the body of a 30-year-old or the mind of a 30-year-old?
I would want to have a body of a 30-year-old.
Yeah, me too. Isn't this question like super easy? Like, why would you want to have the mind of a 30-year-old? It means you have learned nothing from your life and then your body is just aging.
Yeah, there's no win. I don't get it.
Yeah, unless we're a messenger. Anyway.
Next Whatever. Question. Well, if we're understanding it in the same way, yeah, then that means we are compatible. Okay, see, this cool. is how you lead into falling in love.
Are you in love? Yeah. Okay, next question.
Okay, number 7. Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die? This is part of the easy category. Yeah. What the fuck?
I don't have a secret hunch. That's it. That's my question. I don't have a secret
I hunch. Don't think about it too often. But sometimes I wonder if I will die doing something really stupid. Like, that's just how it's gonna happen, right? Like, yeah. I'm gonna fucking YOLO, and then I don't know, I trip on a banana peel and like fall off a building or something.
Okay, so no going up tall buildings with bananas for you. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't have to come with the bananas. Sometimes if fate happens, the banana's already there. You can't change
banana,
fate.
They're not even that slippery. The banana fate. Itself is slippery. The banana peel itself is not that slippery. Okay, anyway.
Anyways.
Right. Next question.
Number 8. Name 3 things you and your partner appear to have in common. My partner? How are we supposed to fall in love if I already have a partner? Oh, like each other.
Each other. The partner that you're doing this question with. Okay, well, here you go. We're both Asian. We both have black hair.
Oh my gosh, it's so surface level.
And we, well, it's section 1, so. We both have depression.
Yeah, we both have, like, mental health illness. And we from the east side.
Yes, East Vancouver.
Okay, next. Question 9. For what? For what in your life do you feel most grateful?
My parents. I think that's a pretty easy one. I'm most grateful for my parents. They've just sacrificed so much so that I could have a better life. Like, wouldn't have anything in my life if it weren't for them.
I'm grateful that I was born and raised in this, like, super privileged place in the world.
And that leads us to our 10th question.
Oh.
If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
I don't think I want to change anything.
Yeah, me neither.
I think any questions about things like, oh, what do you regret most? Or like, if you could redo high school, you know, any of those like going backwards in time type questions. Yeah. I don't want to change a thing because then that just means that I won't be who I am today.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Can you see question 11?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
Take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible.
4 minutes?
That's a long time. Let's change it to 30 seconds.
Okay, how about 1 minute? What do you got? Okay, 1 minute. Okay. You have 1 minute.
Okay.
And I'm going to count you down, okay?
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, I was born in China. And I spent 9 years there, and then I spent the rest of my childhood in Vancouver. Wow, this is really hard. This is like that question. We gotta prep. Okay. My parents both went to great universities. They're both the youngest of their family. But my mom's side value education deeply. And my dad's side doesn't value education as much, even though they were more privileged. And as a result, the two sides of the family have been very different. And my mom's side is very kind. So kindness and education is what I value the most. And yeah, that's it, I think.
Okay, great. That was, you had 20 seconds left.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. And also mental health and stuff. And I have bipolar and stuff. And I was like really lazy in school, but somehow I got to a medium place in my life.
Ding. So,
okay, there you go.
Okay. I'm nervous.
3, 2, 1. Go.
Okay, so I am born and raised in Vancouver, British Columbia. I grew up with my dad, and he was 59 years older than myself. So growing up, he was always mistaken as my grandpa, and I really loathed people for that, for making assumptions. I grew up with my dad because my parents were divorced since I was really, really little, and my mom didn't get custody because she had to go to work while my dad did not. So that was why I lived with my dad. I moved I've moved to like maybe four different schools in my whole lifetime. I don't actually know because I'm not counting in my head right now. But it was really difficult because it means that I have to make friends every single time. At one point, I was expelled in my elementary school and I went to special ed. And during that time, it was also when I was institutionalized. And then now I am a mental health advocate.
Oh, perfect.
Nice.
Nice. That was exactly. Oh, wait, no. No, you have five more seconds.
No, fuck you. Okay, well, that was it.
Yeah, you did a much better job than I did.
But that's because you set some groundwork. You set some foundation for me to go. Yeah, thank you. I mean, what?
Okay, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? I would want to gain quality because it's like a lot harder to obtain a quality than it is to gain an ability. And for me, it would be like, the quality would be like, I don't know, don't procrastinate.
So when Angie first read this question, I only interpret it as what ability do you want when you wake up in the morning? And I want to teleport.
I knew it. I knew you were going to go the superhuman route. Yeah.
And even now thinking about it, like, would I want to have a quality or would I want to have ability? I still want to have an ability because I want to go through the journey of building a quality. But an ability, I just want to fucking teleport or fly. But it seems like really cold to do that. So I'd rather just instantaneously, like, poof, and apparate somewhere.
Apparate.
Angie has been reading Harry Potter,
which has
been very exciting for me. So every time we catch up now, I'm like, yo, what book are you at? Which chapter? Yeah, what's going on?
So that's section one done.
Oh, that was fast. Yeah. Okay, section two. This is going to be like the medium juice, apparently. So question 13, if a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
What would I want to know? How I die? No, I'm just kidding.
I thought about that.
No, I don't want to know. But I don't want to know. A truth about yourself, your life, or future? I don't know. That's a hard one. What would I want to know? Can you go first? I feel like I've been going first.
I don't know if I want to know anything because I don't want things to be like on my mind all the time and then have it become this like self-fulfilling prophecy, but in a way that I least expect it, you know? And if a crystal ball could tell me one truth about myself, that's tricky because I'm scared of that.
Oh, tell us more.
Like what if the truth is like everybody actually hates me? You know that? Do you watch Mean Girls? Or have you watched Mean Girls?
I have watched Mean Girls.
Do you remember much about Mean Girls?
I remembered a lot.
Okay. So there's this part where Regina said, do you want to know what everyone else thinks about you? Like, you're a homeschooled jungle free who's a less hot version of me.
And?
So I think that was the first thing that came to mind when I'm like, if a crystal ball told me a truth about myself, what if I find out that like everybody hates me? And I know, then it's like, well, what of it, you know, like who cares what people think, blah blah.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that that was my first fear, I think that speaks to something.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people out there who hate you and who hate me, but there's also enough people in our lives that like us and loves us that I'm like, YOLO, haters gone hate. Do people still say that? Anyway, I don't know, I guess for me it would be like, I don't really want to know anything else from the crystal ball. I would rather pursue the journey of finding out the truth about myself on my own.
Exactly. I don't want to find out anything from a crystal ball.
But if I can save like $200, then I would want the crystal ball to tell me my ethnicity because that's like, you know, like 23andMe.
Oh.
I've always like kind of wanted to do that, but then I don't want to do it for it to be like, you are 98% Chinese. And
Asian. It's going to be
Fucking duh. But if the crystal ball can be like, you are this and this and that and this, then that'd be pretty cool. And then I can save $200.
Okay. If the crystal ball could tell me about like what to invest in.
No.
And then I will have like easy access to some financial freedom. Okay. I think I will want some of that information.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Without any repercussions or consequences. How about that?
That doesn't work though, because you can't just, if you're printing money out of nowhere.
Well, I'm not printing money. I'm just going to invest in like the next fucking Google.
But so if you're gaining, someone else is losing.
And then this is where the debate of capitalism comes in. Okay, next question. Is there something that you've dreamt of doing for a long time and why haven't you done it? Something that I dreamt of doing for a long time is, okay, this is, I don't know. I was going to say move to another city, but that's happening.
Oh, I have one. I have dreamt of learning how to swim because I think that would be nice. Then I have an access to a lot more activities, which is kind of a dumb thing to like, it's not that big of a deal. But I'm so scared of water that I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it. And I literally like fell into a river last week and thought I was going to die. So why haven't I done it? Because I'm scared of water.
When you are ready, I can teach you how to swim.
Everyone says that. So I have, it's not the resource that I am lacking.
No, you just have to get over that fear, that initial fear. So when you are ready.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Here's another person. Mine's not going to sound as epic, but, and it's not so much I dreamt of doing this. It's not like, ooh, I really want to do this. But it's more like something that I've told myself I want to do, but I have not done it. And that is, it sounds weird. I want to volunteer at a senior's home. And I haven't done it.
Why do you want to volunteer at a senior's home?
Because old people, because
old people.
Old people, they like touch a special place in my heart. I don't know if it's because growing up, my dad was older. So I always felt like I have this, like seniors themselves have a special place in my heart. And when I was in third grade, our teacher took us to a senior's home to like hang out with the grandmas and the grandpas. And I remember having such a blast. We took a picture. I still have that picture to this day of the grandma that I was hanging out with. And I remember thinking to myself like, oh, when I grow up, I should do this more often. And then when my dad passed away, I remember also saying like, oh, I should give back more to the seniors and, you know, give them an opportunity to tell their story to another person because I felt like I didn't ask enough from my dad about his story. Oh, now we're getting a little bit kind of, you know.
We're going to go to the next question. We're like halfway.
Okay, great.
Question number 15. What is the greatest accomplishment of your life? Nothing. I'm only 30. What? I haven't accomplished anything yet.
We created a podcast. That's something to celebrate. We should celebrate that.
Yes.
Celebrating it today. Cheers.
Okay, definitely. There's a lot of things to celebrate, but I feel like, I don't know. I feel like that because I'm 30, I don't think I have accomplished anything.
How about like what? Okay. Well, you've accomplished stuff. Like what is one of your proudest achievements to date? Does that make it better?
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Good.
What is the greatest accomplishment of your life? I really can't think of anything.
For me, it's actually going to university. And I think a big part of that is because growing up, my dad didn't believe that I could go into higher education.
Mm.
And he always put me down because I spent many years trying to get into university. And it was like such a goal, like a vision of mine to walk across that stage and graduate from a university.
Yeah, you should be proud of that.
Yeah, I think that's a point. I'm proud.
Okay, this is gonna sound super cheesy, and I think this is where like a lot of the differences between Chrissy and I come in. Is like the only thing I can think of in terms of my accomplishments is that I've achieved some sort of a good fraction of inner peace, and to me that's more of an accomplishment that I can be proud of. Because, I don't know, like, there are all these external things, like, I don't know, maybe getting my CFA. I don't have it yet. But, or, like, finishing university or, like, the podcast. Like, these are all great things that I'm super grateful for and super proud of. But an actual, like, accomplishment that's the greatest, I'm going to have to go very zen and, you know, and just being, like, I have achieved some semblance of peace with myself, and I think that's what I'm the proudest of.
Dang. Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, I got my degree, bitch.
No, and that's completely like everyone has something that they feel intensely about. That's the thing. Everyone's different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I recognize that it's an external thing, and I recognize that it's almost like spiting my dad in a way, but I'm still fucking damn proud of it all.
Yeah, as you should be. Okay, next question.
Okay, okie dokes. What number are we at? I'm losing it. Seven. 16. Okay, you want to read this?
What do you value most in a friendship? Honesty. Nobody's perfect and everyone's going to make mistakes. Like, honesty as in, like, being honest to themselves and to other people kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard. Like, I don't think I've achieved that level of honesty yet in my friendships. So it's like a lifelong thing. What about you?
I have something in mind, but I'm trying to think about how to explain it. But now I'm thinking too hard. For me, it's
we don't want that.
I think it would be loyalty. So not in a way like, you know, not like, oh, we have to be friends forever until the end of time and we got to be together. But just don't stab my back.
Yeah.
And I guess that it aligns with honesty as well. But like, oh, I'm always going to be here to support you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to hurt you. And because that's how I feel like I am. I'm not perfect, but I like to think of myself as a loyal person. So yes, loyalty.
Yeah, I think loyalty is a big one as well.
Okay, 17. What is your most treasured memory? That's hard. Now I just have like a slideshow of like 5,000 memories swirling in my head.
Just like,
and I'm like, you gotta pick one, motherfucker. You gotta pick one.
Most treasured. What was the first thing you thought of?
The first thing I thought of was Queen Elizabeth Park, and then two scenes came to mind. Was one, I was holding an orange juice box and my mom was taking a picture of me while sitting on the rocks. And then another one was, it's not even a memory, it's just a photo that I know of. It's my dad holding me up as like a 1-year-old baby and kind of like spinning me.
Aww.
And they both happened at Queen Elizabeth Park.
Aww.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, now I don't remember what was like what first came to my mind anymore. Probably something from childhood as well. Like, definitely something from childhood. Probably what I'm thinking, the first thing I think of is my grandpa, my mom's dad. And when I stayed with him for a while, so like before we moved to Canada, there was like a period of 6 months or so. Because school started in September, but we were moving to Canada in March. So there was no point in putting me in school, especially since it costs money. So for that 6 months, I just had total freedom. No school, no homework. I was 9. Like, imagine that. So for most of that, me and my mom stayed with her parents. And every day, my grandpa would make this like little dairy beverage from milk powder. And we would both drink it every day at 1 p.m. We would drink this.
When was the last time you've had this milk beverage?
Probably that time. I don't even remember what it was. It was like, this was a long time ago. This was 2000 in China. This was when like you can still find slums everywhere in China. So it was like completely different economically and just culturally as well. So this milk powder would come in these like plastic bags and you would like scoop some out and then pour some hot water in it and just drink it. Because fresh milk was so expensive.
Does that drink still exist?
I'm sure it does. And I think I think I've had similar stuff before, but the one I had with my grandpa was very sweet. There was lots of sugar in it, and I think that's why I liked it so much. It tasted like a melted ice cream.
I wonder if it will taste the same, because I don't know about you guys, but I find that so many of my childhood snacks and foods that I used to like, even though they are still around, it just doesn't taste the same anymore.
I mean, speaking of childhood snacks, we have some yan-yans right there. I don't know if you can see it in the...
Angie says those were her favorite, so I brought her some yan-yans.
Yeah, because when we first moved to Canada, we were so poor, and those things were 79 cents each. Sweet. I loved it, because it was like, we couldn't afford much, so...
It's $1.69 now.
Inflation.
Oh, how the times have changed. Okay, question 18. What is your most terrible memory?
Oh, boy. I have so many.
First one that comes to mind.
Oh, God.
I have one. Or
yeah, you go first.
Okay. I don't think it's my most terrible memory, but it's one of the first ones that came to mind. I think I was like 13. I was in the 8th grade. And my dad was doing the dishes in the kitchen. And we were having an argument. And I'm on the other side of the kitchen. And he's yelling. And I'm yelling. And he pulls out a cleaver from the sink. And then he starts chasing me around with it. And then I ran out of the house and then I slept over at friends for like 3 days.
That's pretty terrible. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yep.
That is a terrible memory. My most terrible memory, I guess it depends. Terrible as in like it's fucked up, or terrible to me emotionally?
It's however you want to interpret it.
I guess one of them's kind of funny. The other one's not funny at all. I guess this is the most terrible one to me in terms of, like, it was something that I had to work through therapy. When we first moved here in Canada, again, like, immigration is not easy, guys. So be nice to immigrants. We first moved here, my parents were working, like, labor jobs and going to school at nighttime to learn English. We didn't know anybody in Canada, so there was nobody to look after me. My parents can't afford babysitting, are you kidding me? And technically, I'm not allowed to be home by myself because you're not supposed to if you're under the age of 12. So I just had to lock myself up in the apartment for days and days and days for the entire summer. So I was like literally going crazy. So I would play like hide and seek with myself. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like finding some sort of entertainment for myself. I had to use a lot of imagination. And one time I just like went into the closet to pretend I was hiding. And then this thought came to me like, hey, if I died in this closet, nobody would even find me.
That makes me really sad. And that's really, really dark for a child.
Yeah. And I was 9. Yep. That was a pretty hard time for me and my parents, but we got through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not something that you'd want to change.
No.
Because look at where you are now.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 19. Oh my gosh, my pants are getting wet.
That was a good comic relief. Chrissy was holding her water bottle, but I guess she hadn't.
Over the floor.
I guess you hadn't sealed it properly.
I don't know, but I'm.
Do you want to get?
It's fine.
A tissue, okay.
I will because these are your floors. Okay.
That's hardwood.
Question 20. What does friendship mean to you?
We already went through that one.
No, the other one was like, what do you value most in a friendship?
Oh.
Question 20 is what does friendship?
Wait, mean you skipped to you? Question 19.
Oh, did I? Okay, well, we'll come back to it. Tell me what your friendship means.
It means understanding and support at an arm's length.
Why at an arm's length?
Because you don't want to support someone to the point where like it's codependent.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, okay. Yeah. Like healthy friendship.
Yes. Yes, Andrew, it is getting juicy.
What does friendship mean to me? I think it goes back to that previous question of, you know, having that support. So that I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Having that loyalty and trust and, I don't know, somebody there to like drink bubblies with and then laugh about my pants getting wet and then also talking
Aww.
About deep, dark childhood traumas.
Gross, but okay.
Why is it gross?
Well, no, not gross, but it's very, like, heartwarming. Thanks. Yeah, understanding, I think, for me, I was thinking of you as well.
Okay, it's too much sugar now.
Yeah.
Oh, back to question 19, because I accidentally skipped it. If you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly, fuck, would you change anything about the way you're living now? Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, why?
Well, first, I would quit my job.
Yes.
Because I don't want to spend the last year of my days on Earth working.
Correct.
Not that there's anything wrong with my job, but like the point of a job is so that you can keep living, right? You got to pay bills and stuff. So if I have enough money to last me for a year, then first I will quit my job and then start doing things for the people in my life so that I can leave something behind with them other than just memories of me, that there's something tangible for them, something to help them out. How about you?
Yep. I would definitely quit my job, which I already did. Spoiler. I would travel a lot. I would probably do that seniors home volunteer thing. I would spend a lot more time with my family. And then I would try to hang out more with my friends. Because I find that as adults, it's hard to hang out with your friends. And your friend circle, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like my friend circle gets smaller and smaller as the years go on. Not because of like, I'm not making friends. I don't know. It's like the people that you're close with, you know, get smaller because it's harder to find time to cultivate those relationships and to sustain those relationships. So there will be like a lot of acquaintances on the peripheral and, you know, that's all fine. Yeah. But the inner circle, it gets harder to maintain. And so I think I would want to spend more time with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And actually, one thing that I disagree with is I wouldn't travel.
Ooh, interesting.
Because it would just make me feel like it's like a never-ending thing. If I do have to travel, if it's that's something that somebody I love wants to do with me, then I would do it.
Mm.
But I would not do any solo traveling.
I would definitely do a lot of solo, which sounds weird because I'm like, I'm going to spend my time with my friends and family. But I definitely, definitely want to do even more solo traveling. Interesting.
Yeah. I would also want to write a book.
In a year? Ambitious.
Yeah. Well, if I don't have to work and then there's actually a timeline, like, hey, you're going to die in 365 days.
Yeah.
Then I think I'll finally get my ass moving.
Mm.
Yeah.
True that. True that. Question 21. What role do love and affection play in your life? I don't know what this is asking.
What roles do love and affection play in your life?
Okay, while you're thinking.
I'm going to quote Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Love is like oatmeal. It sustains you.
Oatmeal's great. Okay. Love and affection to me is like a blanket. Like it keeps you warm and safe and it feels good.
Yeah. Like what roles does it play? It plays huge roles.
It's a blanket.
Like your life literally revolves around love and affection. And without it, is it even a life?
Is it? I mean, I don't want to disregard people who don't. Okay, well, actually, the first person I thought is Voldemort, and he had no love and affection in his life, and fuck that.
He could have had it. He just chose to go a different route. Because love and affection, like, it doesn't have to be always for other people. It can also be for yourself.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yes. So it sustains. It's the only thing that would keep us going. Even in my really dark times when I thought about, like, maybe not wanting to be alive anymore, the only thing that kept me going is, like, well, there's so much love in my life.
Mm.
And that's what prevented Harry Potter from dying, is his mother's love for him.
I think for me, love and affection is so much more than just like sustaining life, because I feel like when you say, at least for me, when you say it sustains life, it feels like, oh, it's just a necessary thing to have, like oxygen, you know, something that you don't really think about, but it's like you just need to have it. But I also feel like it's something more, like it's that warm blanket. Like, you don't need to have it, but it is so much better with it.
Yes. I think maybe I'm looking at love a little bit differently. So there's the idea of small love and big love.
Mm.
This is in, like, Buddhism, right? Small love is, like, love between you and your partner, you and your friends, you and your family. That's small love. It's selfish love. Not selfish as in, like, oh, that's bad, but, like, selfish as in, like, it fulfills our need and needs and stuff like that. And then there's big love, which is love for the universe, love for the humankind, love for animals, love for just what exists around us. So I think, like, that has to exist.
Next set of questions. I'm blanking out. I'm sorry. Help me out. Okay, 22. I found it.
Alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic of your partner.
Ooh.
Share a total of 5 items.
Oh my God, I have to think of 5 good things about Angie.
You have to think 5 things about me?
Okay, I think you are really fucking introspective. And I think that makes you just a really decent human being, because if you fuck up, you think about why you fuck up, you know, and you try to be better. And I'm not saying like because you're not perfect. But you know this, you know what I mean? Like, and then you actually think about like, oh, how did I fuck up? Like if you had a fight with your boyfriend or if something came up, right? Then you have your thing, like you have this emotional thing, but then you stop and you actually try to think about, well, how can I be a better human being and be kinder to not just myself, but also to those around me? So introspectiveness.
You know? Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, what's up? Go on, lay it on. I'm ready. Smother me.
The first thing I was going to say was just like, you're funny. Okay, actually, one thing I really respect about you is your unwavering positivity on life. Like, you have been through so much and you've had not gray hands dealt to you, but you always make the most of it. And out of all my friends, I think in like the ratio of like accomplishment to hardship, I think you have the highest.
Oh my gosh. Don't make me cry on live Instagram.
You almost made me cry earlier.
Okay.
We don't always have to go so deep, okay?
You started it. I know. I was going to say funny, and you started it.
Okay, so this sounds really dumb, but here's an example. Last year in 2020, it was everybody's first time of being at home and, like, not seeing humans and things like that. And something that Angie did was whenever it's their friend's birthday, you would send them something.
Oh, how did you know that?
Yeah, I see. And it's not like something you do to flaunt. You're like, oh, it's their birthday. I can't hang out with them. We can't get together. Okay, let me like send them something and not tell them about it. And so it's like that thoughtfulness. Mm. I think that's really beautiful.
How did you even know about that? Also, because everyone was turning 30. And like, yeah, everyone was turning 30 during the pandemic. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Okay, so now you have to say something good about me, okay?
I think you're very generous. I think you have a very generous spirit towards your friends. Like, look at all the snacks you brought.
Yeah, because it's our baby's birthday.
I know, but I think you're extremely generous. And the person that you're the least generous with is yourself. Because you're so frugal. But then you're so generous when it comes to your friends and people that you care about. I think that's a good trait. I think that's very positive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, now it's your turn to say something nice about me. So this is the third thing?
Try this, guys. Try this at home. Say like five positive characteristics to your partner or to your family members or to a good friend.
Okay, for those of us who has been with us from the beginning, it's okay if you haven't, but remember when I said that we'll start falling in love at question number 22? This is question number 22 and I had no idea. No. Yeah, I said, you asked me, you're like, are you falling in love yet? I'm like, no, but maybe we will by question 22. And I just chose question 22 randomly and this is question number 22. No. So I don't want to say I'm a psychic, but...
Well, are you falling in love?
Yeah, totally. Especially because you're saying all these great things about me.
I'm getting really tipsy. Another characteristic is I think you're very forgiving.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Do you?
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
Well, I don't want to say it on camera.
I don't think you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, tell me.
I'm thinking about your relationship with your mom.
Oh...
I really respect you for that. I really look up to you because I have a very complicated relationship with my mom. And for those of you guys who listen to our episodes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I really admire the way that you have navigated that. And I know you are still, you know, you and your mom are still working on it. But I think I'm impressed. And I'm also, admiring. And I think that comes from a place of forgiveness, that you're willing to forgive your mom and the struggles that you have both gone through and come to terms with it and come to a place of where you are now and then continue to still work on that relationship with her.
Mm. So I was making a face at the camera. I was like, what? Like what? Because that's you. I said that to my mom because I've told her about you and your mom. And my mom's like, wow. I'm like, I know, right? Like she's so forgiving. Like,
what?
That's like, yo, everything you said about me, I have literally said about you. Like, like you took your mom in and she lives with you.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, that's so forgiving given the fact that she wasn't there for you at all growing up. And you had lost your childhood because of that. And I understand the circumstances were difficult. Same thing with my mom. She had difficult circumstances. But like, yeah.
I don't know.
So when you said that to me, I'm like, are you joking me? That's you.
I feel like you and your mom are like on a whole other level that I aspire to get to, you know? Not like a finish line type thing, but it's like, okay, it's possible. It's possible to repair your relationship with your Asian mom, given all of the circumstances. Like, I don't have to hold this grudge forever, you know? Like, I can let go and I see a real life example here who is just, you know, a couple steps in front of me. So you're kind of like paving the road so that it's easier for me to follow.
Mm.
And for that, I'm really grateful and I really admire you for it.
Wow. I mean, I want to say the same thing about you. Like, you're very forgiving. And also, like, I think the reason why I'm like two steps ahead is I think my mom and I start off here. And your mom start off like here. So you have more steps to go, but I think you're making huge strides.
Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, bubblies.
That's why I keep reaching for the grapes whenever I feel awkward. not awkward, but like,
I don't know. Uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable because we're not used to so much affirmation from people we care about. That's true. Like, affection for us, especially in our community, is like very weird. And the time that people share affection the most is like weddings and funerals.
I'm telling you, tonight, today, do question number 22. So if it's your partner, a friend, a family member, reach out to them and let them know five, not even, pick whatever you want, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 positive characteristics about them and let them know because, you know, you love this person and we don't do this with each other often enough. Yeah. Okay, I'm losing count.
I think in the interest of time, we can move on.
All right, question 23. How close and warm is your family? Warm. I like that.
Close and warm. Do you feel your childhood was happier than most other people? No.
Hard no. How close and warm? We're ites.
Yeah, we're ites. We're getting better. Yeah. We're getting closer and warmer.
Yeah.
Definitely there was a lot of coldness growing up. And I think my relationship with my parents have improved in parallel to the relationship between my mom and dad. Because for a long time, they were not in love with each other. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there was no love between them. So I didn't feel that love from them. Or I felt it in a very different way. Do I feel like my childhood was happier than most other people? Compared to my peers, no. Compared to the average person who grew up in Vancouver, no. But compared to a lot of the people in the rest of the world, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about your relationship with your mother? Oh!
Oh, what the fuck? What kind of questions are these? Who wrote this shit?
Some psychologists, obviously, like, there's reasons why there's a bunch of stuff from childhood.
We are working on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Section 3. Apparently, this is going to be where all the juicy juice stuff is. So let's see where this will take us. Question 25. Make 3 true. Oh, my God. Make 3 true we, with air quotes, statements each. For instance, we are both in this room feeling tipsy.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Okay. We are both in the room feeling antsy.
Antsy?
Yeah.
Are you feeling antsy?
A little bit.
Hmm.
Just because this is the first time we've done this. We are both in this room feeling grateful.
I'm feeling very grateful.
Grateful for this.
Grateful for people who have joined us on this live IG.
If we're putting you to sleep, you're welcome. Because a lot of people nowadays have insomnia, so if we're not, then also you're welcome.
Question 26. Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share blank.
I think that is a really hard one because
I was going to say my style of traveling.
You mean solo travel, aka no one?
Correct.
That doesn't make that...
Which is why I didn't say anything. Well, I think when I first thought about style, it's because, like Angie alluded to earlier, I'm very frugal. And so when I solo travel, I'm not full on shoestring. I have the full shoe, but...
but not 2 shoes, just 1 shoe.
Yeah. Question 27. If you are going to become a close friend with your partner, please share what would be important for him or her to know.
I think we are already close.
I think we know a lot. Question 28. Is it 28? 27, 28.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Tell your partner what you like about them. Be very honest this time. Saying things that you might not say to someone you've just met.
I think we did that in question 22.
I know. That was that was characteristics, like a positive characteristic about the other person.
I liked all those things I said.
Should we just skip this question?
Yeah, let's just skip this. Okay. Like, I don't want to repeat and be redundant and.
But something that you might not say to someone you've just met.
Yeah, the stuff
I guess so. I wouldn't say it to somebody I've just met. All right, question 29. Share with your partner an embarrassing moment in your life. Ooh.
Okay.
Do you have something?
I have lots.
Okay. There was one time in PE class in like grade 12 or something. And for this particular day, we had a group project. Group projects in PE, guys. That's what happens. And my partner and I are supposed to teach a dance routine for the rest of our class. And so we go into our lockers. We like change and everything. That's when I discovered I had my period. And of course, I don't have pads or tampons or anything with me. So, okay, this is like FYI, some like, I don't know, content warning. So I got my period. So I grabbed a whole bunch of like toilet paper. Like you just roll a bunch of toilet paper and you put it in your underwear so that it will do its thing. And then I go out to the gym, me and my partner, and then we're faced with our entire class. We turn on Black Eyed Peas because that's the song we were dancing to.
Oh, God.
I know, it's great. We had a whole fucking dance routine going on and we're dancing, just the two of us. Everybody's watching, just the two of us. I'm wearing basketball shorts that day. And then, of course, as I'm jumping up and down.
Oh, no.
My wad of toilet paper
oh, that's no. soaked
with my period blood falls out of my basketball shorts.
Oh,
it
no.
lands on the floor, faces up, so it's red. And everybody stares, okay? I keep dancing.
Oh, no.
I dance the whole song, and the toilet paper is still on the floor.
I admire your showmanship.
And then I think this is what happened. Please correct me if you were ever in my gym class, if something else happened. I think I danced the whole song. And then without saying a word to anybody, when the song ended, I picked up the toilet paper and I ran to the bathroom and I never came back out.
Was it all girls PE
class? It was all girls PE class.
That's slightly better, but it shouldn't be because fuck the patriarchy. Like, men should know all about menstruation. Yeah.
I think the school system is a little bit better on their education now.
Probably, yeah.
But anyways, that was my embarrassing story.
That's pretty embarrassing. I already said this, but great showmanship. I can't think of one because...
What?
Okay, the most recent... there's been so many.
Okay, most recent.
However, most recent was when I fell into the water when I was kayaking. I also got my period. And this is the first time I've ever kayaked. And when we had the river was a lot higher than normal. So we had to actually take our kayak out of the water and walk to the next portion because there's a bridge in between. And the water was so high that you couldn't get under the bridge. So one, I don't know how to swim. Two, I'm like getting more and more nervous. And then when I got out of the water to portage, I think that's the word, I realized that my shorts were soaked in blood. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I didn't know what to do. So as we were portaging on this trail, I kind of like let my boyfriend and the guide like walk forward a bit more. And then I literally like looked around and then I saw this girl biking by and I'm like, I'm so sorry to bother you. Do you have any tampons? And I think she was like a Nordic girl. Like I see her as Angel. She's like blonde, pretty, tall. She's like, yes, of course. She like takes out her backpack, gives me a handful of tampons. I'm like, no, I don't need that many. Like, I don't even have anywhere to put it. So I grab like two or three. And she's like, oh, do you need tissue as well? I'm like, oh, yes, please. And I'm like, have you seen a porta potty anywhere? She's like, no, I don't think so. Just go in a bush. So with her encouragement, I hid behind a bush. Well, I was looking for a bush. My boyfriend comes back. He's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, no, it's not. But I just got some tampons from a stranger. Please take my kayak. So he grabs my kayak and drags it down to meet the guide. And I'm like looking around, making sure there's nobody around. I'm like, okay, I'll do this. And then my tissue paper, obviously it was red. I'm like, what do I do with the tissue? Like, so I just like crumpled it up and like threw it behind the bush. I'm like all flustered. I have my life jacket on, except it's not called a life jacket because the guy was like, it's not going to save your life. It's a personal floating device. It'll keep you afloat, but you have to be responsible for your own life. And I was like, oh my God. So at this point, I'm freaking out and we get to the next portion of the river and I see a current and I'm freaking out because, and this is the part where the guy taught us how to steer using our kayak, but I was just like, my mind was all over the place that as soon as I got into the water, I completely forget everything. Forget to steer, trying to like row, but you're not supposed to be rowing in current. So then I just get pushed to the side of the river. It's not very wide. Get pushed into the trees and I didn't know how to get out. So I'm like, anyway, I panic and I flip over and I fall into the water. The water is like less than 5 degrees Celsius. And I just freak out. Anyway, so long story short, by the time we got out of the river, I like went to the bathroom and I noticed my jeans were clean. Because falling in the cold water had washed away all the blood.
So nature, anyway. Man, nature. And I want to say shout out to the Nordic girl because like this is such a great example of like this female community-ness. Yeah. Like we just know, we like understand, we get you.
Yes.
We get you, girl.
Because we would do this for anyone. Any girl that comes up to us and goes, do you have any tampons or pads? Just be like, yep. Here, take it. Here you go. Here you go.
I mean, let me keep watch for you while you do your thing behind the bush.
Yeah,
you
know? Like that. This is one of the strong female bonds that will never break. And I think some of that comes from the fact that men are so ignorant when it comes to this.
Which, like, education, right? Yeah. Question 30. Okay. When did you last cry in front of another person?
Probably when I had that big fight with my boyfriend. I cried in front of you. Cried in front of my mom.
I don't remember. I mean, it might not be the most recent, but it was something that I remember. My dad passed away in May. Not this May, but like when his death date is May. And so I go visit him.
Yep.
And I bring like food and like this time, I've never done this before. I brought some beers.
Aww.
I brought his favorite beer. And I was thinking about how like I never had a chance to have a beer with my dad. And oh shit, now I'm gonna cry. And so I cracked a beer for him and I cracked a beer for me and we just hung out and chatted. And then I start crying. Oh, dear. Well, this is why IG Live is so great.
The last time you cried in front of another person was now.
It's now. Carry on. Okay. The show must go on, my friend. Okay. Question
31.
31.
It's very repetitive.
I think. Yeah.
Tell your partner something that you like about them already. Given the fact that these questions are supposed to make you and your partner fall in love, that's probably why they keep repeating these questions.
Affirmation.
That's a huge affirmation. It's a big love language. Yeah. So let's go to the next one. Mm-hmm. What, if anything, is too serious to be joked about?
Oh, rape.
Yeah, I was just gonna say sexual assault. I think it's too serious to be joked about. It causes so much harm to someone's life that it should never really be a joke.
Yep. Question 33. If you were to die this evening,
Oh my God,
with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret not having told someone? And why haven't you told them yet?
Oh boy. Well, I think the go-to for a lot of people is to say, tell the person they love that they love them. Why haven't you told them yet? I don't know, it's because it's awkward.
Who is it that you're thinking of?
My parents.
Hmm.
Who are you thinking of?
Yeah, my mom.
Yeah. Why haven't I told them? It's not really part of our culture.
It's gross.
Like, but I know they love me and they know I love them. So maybe it's not something I would regret.
I think for me, it's, I want to tell my mom that I love her, but more importantly is that I'm not mad at her.
You want to tell her you forgive her?
Yes. I want her to know that I forgive her and that I'm not holding a grudge against her.
Mm.
I think that's something that she is holding on to a lot because she feels like she owes me. And I think she thinks that I'm mad at her about it.
Yeah, she thinks that you still resent her.
And I let her think that.
Oh. 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 Oh.
Which I don't know if that in itself means that I am holding a grudge on her. But I want her to know that, you know, I let that shit go. Like, I'm not holding on to it as much as she is, you know? Like, I love her. I forgive her. Whatever. I don't think she knows the extent of how much I love her. Like, I used to... Okay. Do you remember when butterfly clips were a thing, like,
yes,
in the early 2000s?
Yes.
Yeah, with the glitter and everything, and we used, yes, to, like, put them in our hair.
Unfortunately.
So, obviously, my dad doesn't know about the latest preteen trends.
Yes.
But my mom knew about them, and so she would buy me butterfly clips. And I fucking treasured them like they were gold. One day, I went to school, and one of my butterfly clips broke. And I just went ballistic because I felt like I had broken my mom's heart because those butterfly clips was a symbol of my mom's love for me. And breaking them meant that I lost a piece of her.
Aww.
Actually, that was a story that I told my therapist that made me cry recently.
Aww. I think there is a lot of unresolved forgiveness between you and your mom. I think it's hard for her to forgive herself if she doesn't know that you have forgiven her. yeah, it's like I said, one step at a time. Like, yeah. You said maybe part of you, like, you're letting her feel like that. I don't think it's that you're letting her. I think maybe you're just, you guys just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
You're not doing it out of malice.
No, I'm not doing it on purpose. I just, like, don't correct her.
What does she say?
She actually doesn't say anything. See, that's probably the problem. Like, we're not fucking talking about it.
Exactly. So how can you correct something when it's not correctable?
Or it's not being spoken of.
Yeah, like, it's just a slow journey. It takes a little bit of action here and a little bit of action there to kind of get there. Because that's, unfortunately, like, with our parents, with how much trauma they bring with them from their generation, it's not something that you can talk through with them. Mm-hmm. Even if we have a conversation with our parents, it's not going to be resolved when that conversation ends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's still got to be a lot of follow-up. Yeah, for my mom and I, like, every time we have a conversation, a little bit, I get to know her a little bit more. She gets to know me a little bit more. Her respect for me increases. My respect for her increases. One thing that my mom always say to people, she said this to my boyfriend when she first met him too, is like, I know that our Angie has a little bit of a temper, but good thing is she has a kind heart. My mom always says that about me.
You know what I liked most about that? She said, our. Yes! How did you know?
Because it's the part that made me go, aw.
I thought that was subtle. I thought I was going to blow your mind. Okay, next question is 34. Your house containing everything you own.
Oh, no.
Fuck this. This is one of my worst nightmares. Fuck this question. So your house containing everything you own catches fire. After saving your loved ones and pets, my non-existent cat that I will one day have and love forever and ever and ever, you have time to safely make a final dash to save any one item. What would it be and why? My dad's briefcase.
Oh, what's in it?
Just, like, his stuff. Like, his... Just, like... He has, like, old ledgers, you know? So, it's, like, his writing. Yeah. And his... He'll have his Safeway card because it has a signature on his back. So, just... There's nothing important in there. It's just stuff that reminds me of him.
Wow.
God damn.
I'm crying. These questions. Well, I can tell that, like, it's very, very obvious you have a lot of love for your parents, even though you have been through a lot with them. There's been a lot of unfortunate circumstances for both of your parents. They had their own hardships to go through, and you were caught in the middle of a lot of that, and I think that's why you forgive them, because you know it was out of their control.
Thank you for understanding.
I understand.
Oh, fuck.
I understand because I went through, I have processed mine for my parents as well. And it's hard.
Yeah.
The intergeneration. Oh, now I'm going. Here we go. The intergeneration trauma is hard. Like, it's not something we can control. But I think for a good part of our life, we resent our parents because we inherit that from them. But I would never resent my parents if I inherited, like, a physical illness. I would never resent them for that. But we tend to resent our parents for emotional hardship, and especially if it's from immigrant parents or parents who come from a generation that has their own trauma, like, and especially in Chinese community, because our parents don't talk to us about that trauma, then we don't understand where their trauma comes from. Then that makes it even harder for us to resolve that tension with them. And I think this is why, like, talking to our parents is really important and trying to extract those stories from them. I have, over time, extracted a lot of stories out of my mom. And over time, the more I understand my parents, the more I forgive them, and the more I take that barrier, that hard shell off of my love for them, because I wanted to protect that love that I do have for them.
And this is now our third time crying.
Your third time, my second time crying.
Okay. We are on question number 35.
Oh my God, 35. That's close to the end.
Yeah, well, we're almost at 2 hours.
I'm surprised that there's still champagne left.
I'm surprised there's still people here.
Okay, question 35. Of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing and why?
We're going to sit in silence for just a little bit because this is a lot to process.
Of all the people in my family, whose death would you find most disturbing? Why disturbing?
Yeah, why disturbing?
Why not shocking or...
or sad.
Sad or depressing. Why disturbing?
Because when they say disturbing, I think of gruesome.
Yeah.
Like, I think of, like...
I don't like that word, disturbing. Disturb what? What are we disturbing?
Your
peace? Your silence? Your happiness? Maybe yeah, your happiness?
Your mental health. It disturbs your... all of the deaths will disturb... okay. Okay, going back to the question... of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing? Impactful. How about that? I'm going to change the question. Hmm. Sorry, New York Times.
Well, it's New York Times just reporting the questions that the psychologists Sorry. Came up with. I forgot their name. Like, it's I'm blanking out.
It's whatever.
Doesn't matter. It was created so long ago.
For those of you listening in the future... we will link it in the show notes. The 36 questions to fall in love. We highly, highly recommend you do this with a friend, with a loved one, with your family member. And if 36 questions is too much, just go to question 22. That's our favorite one so far.
Yeah.
And probably will be our favorite one because we are on
probably question this one 35. Too.
I don't know. This one feels fucked up. Which death would you find most disturbing? All of them. But that's a cop-out answer. So, you know, probably my mom, I guess, because that's my only parent left.
Yeah. The one that would impact my life the most would be my mom. With my family back in China, they're all still alive. Like my grandparents, my aunt and uncles, my cousins, they're all alive. But I did this thing in therapy where I have already grieved my loss of them. Because one of the unresolved traumas that I had was losing everyone when I immigrated to Canada. And I never grieved it because they're still alive. But it's a loss in the sense of that this family I knew of and this family I was part of is gone. So that was something that I had always sat pretty heavy with me. And I never realized why it sat so heavy with me until I brought it up in therapy and I properly grieved that this life of mine that I had before and that this version of Angie that was in China... it's gone.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just grieving the people that you have left behind in China, but also grieving the person that you used to be when you were in China.
Yeah, because it's so different. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes it feels like it was a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so it would be my mom.
Okay.
Yeah, or my grandma. Not the grandma that I like, but the grandma I don't like.
The one with the broom?
Yeah.
I see.
The one with the broom. Because... I don't see myself ever reconciling with her.
So, short answer would be my mom, because she is the only parent left in my life right now. And I think if she dies, touch all the wood. I'm superstitious, so let me just
rub. This is also wood.
Okay. Oh, excellent. Well, I didn't want to, you know, ruin the microphone. Dude, this, the reverb,
oh
motherfucker.
God, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
Because when she is gone, I will not have any parents left. And that will be a thing for me to deal with one day.
Yeah, that is disturbing. Like, I don't even want to think about my parents dying.
Anyways, last question. Would you do the honors in reading it? Because I think I read all of them.
Question number 36. Share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it. Also, ask your partner to reflect back on how you seem to be feeling about the problem you have chosen.
I don't like this question.
Yeah, me neither. That's probably why it's question number 36. Damn! A personal problem. But I have so many. I'm just kidding.
I think I'm in a place right now where I'm not ruminating on my problems.
Yeah.
Because I just... recently got out of depression, like a depressive episode that I had for about 2 months. And I'm out of that space now, which is great. And so I'm not really ruminating on a personal problem.
I'm not saying I don't have problems. Everybody's got problems. Yeah. And I have a good sack.
That's what he said.
Do you have something in mind?
That's the thing. Like, not a problem problem. But maybe that's where we're...
I'm just going to keep drinking the bubblies.
Maybe that's where our problem comes in, is that we're not sharing. Like, these things that we think are small problems and we don't want to burden other people with.
If that's a problem in of itself.
Not just, like, yeah, but like you said, you're like, oh, I don't really have that many problems. I have a lot of small problems, but none of them are worth
sharing. Well, the thing is, I'm not saying they're not worth sharing. It's just like, these problems, I'm working on them. Like my relationship with my mom, for example, that's a problem that I have in my life. We're not in a perfect place, right? But we are in a place where we are trying to repair our relationship. And in the last few weeks, I feel like we have gotten in a really good place because we haven't fought for a really long time. And that feels really good, you know? We've been having kind of like, on Saturdays, it's like me and mom kind of a day. And I take her out for like a hike or a walk, or we go shop, something. We do something together. And it's been really nice to do that. And we're not, again, we're not perfect, but it's been going well, and we're communicating, and I'm finding that she is also communicating back to me, which is not something that she generally does, and I'm not used to that. And I'm seeing signs that she is also growing as well, because she knows spoiler alert, I'm moving to Toronto.
Yeah.
And she has known this for a while, but it's kind of finally settling in, because I have just bought my plane ticket, I have a place already, etc. And she's learning to become more independent. She would ask me like, oh, how do you cook this? Like, let me write it down. And she'll be like, let me try to recreate this dish that you made. Like, can you supervise me? Mm-hmm. And I will do it myself. Or I will take her on a cool hike and she'll be like, oh, let me try to remember where this park is so that when you're in Toronto, I can come back to this park on my own.
Yeah.
You know, and she's hanging out with her friends. She's picking up a new hobby. She's been doing gardening.
Yeah.
And she's like hanging out with her friends, going to like gardening shops, doing her thing. And I've been feeling really good about my relationship with my mom.
Yeah.
I would say when I first read this question, question number 36, share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it. The first thing I thought of is my relationship with my mom, because I live with her. It's very forefront and there's a lot of past trauma behind it. There's a lot of stuff to unpack. However, I do feel like we're in a nice place and we are still working on it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And I don't even think you need my advice, because I think you, like you said before, you use my example. You use my life as an example. I'm just kidding. But yeah, like, I'm always here for you. Yeah, this question, I think, has so many layers. And if I'm going to get super deep about this.
Please do.
For one thing, like, all those problems I've had before, like I had... there was something wrong with everything in my life. I didn't like my job. I didn't like how my friendships were. I didn't have a relationship. My relationship had ended. I didn't like myself. I didn't like my relationship with my parents. I was just in a really dark place. And the one thing that got me out of it was, of course, the support of my friends and family, but also intensely because of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we said this so many times, like, therapy, like, everybody can benefit from therapy. Like, therapy is just so good. It's not the therapist that makes it, although that has a huge factor in your journey, but it's your approach to therapy. Because the only thing that the therapist can be there for is to bring out a side of you that is hard for you to confront. They'll keep asking questions until something comes out. They don't tell you how to live your life. They don't tell you what to do or not to do. They just give you the tools and strategies.
Correct. And they tap into this place where you don't want to go by yourself. So they guide you into going to those places. Yep. That's what they're there for. They're here to guide you. But you have to be on board for this journey.
So like, I am at a place right now where I am very, very happy and content with my life. And I feel at peace. The only thing that gets in the way of that is myself. I still have a lot of self-sabotaging behaviors. And for me, it's my relationship with myself. there are still days where I can't find the motivation to take care of myself. There are days where I think about, if it weren't for these people in my life, like, I don't know what I would do. It's just so much easier for me to find the willingness to care for other people than to care for myself.
I think it's always easier to share love for another person than it is for yourself, because we grow up in a culture where the term selfish is really skewedly defined.
Yes.
And so we feel really guilty when we want to do anything that benefits us, because that aligns with the definition of being selfish.
You think so?
I think so. Like, because we feel selfish for doing self-care. You know, we feel selfish for wanting to give ourselves some love and compassion. And that's where it's, that's the challenging thing, is going against that thought. And it's not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. It's just acknowledging that, oh, hey, I do this. Mm-hmm. That in itself is already a first step to having self-care, is to acknowledge that, hey, sometimes I tend to think of others before I think about myself.
That's right.
That's step one. Step two is, once you have acknowledged that, okay, what can I do now that will actually take care of me? What is it that I need? When you mentioned, like, I should be feeding myself, I should be doing laundry, I should be doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Maybe you should, like, maybe, but maybe you do just need that time to be on your phone. Maybe, like, that is your own self-care.
Yeah. And I think I'm starting to notice the difference. Like, sometimes I feel anxious and I'm on my phone doing whatever it is to distract myself from that anxiety, and it makes me more anxious. Mm. And that's when I go, okay, I feel what my body is doing. I'm going to put my phone down and just do something small. Mm-hmm. And then I feel so much better after. And you know what? This is something that I would not have been able to do before therapy, mm-hmm. because I don't know how to identify anxiety. I don't know how to identify these feelings and these emotions. And by feelings, I mean these physiological feelings, mm-hmm. right? And now I can identify it. And then I go, okay, I need to put my phone down. I'm obviously avoiding something. I get up, I do something small, and then I do something a little bit bigger, do something a little bit bigger, and then I feel better. Mm-hmm. And then I sit down and go on my phone, and then I don't feel anxious anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just need to keep doing that. Keep doing that.
So that's it for today. We are going to wrap up and end our recording, because I want to eat cake and pee.
Yeah, me too. But not in that order. I want to pee first and then eat cake. So I can enjoy cake without...
I don't mind doing them simultaneously, but, you know, whatever.
Whatever floats your boat.
Thank you for listening to the Shit We Don't Tell Mom podcast with Christy
and with Angie. Get that uncomfortable shit out in the open with your partner, a dear friend, a trusted family member, and with us.
And as much as we love talking, we also love to listen. Hit us up with any feedback or topics you'd like us to chat about on Instagram at @shitwedonttellmom or email us at shitwedonttellmom@gmail.com.
Be sure to subscribe and share with your friends.
Bye!